chapter 39, Balancing Your Life. Ephesians 5:15. Live life with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. 2 Peter 3:17. Don't let the errors of evil people lead you down the wrong path and make you lose your balance. Blessed are the balanced, they shall outlast everyone. One of the events in the Summer Olympics is the pentathlon. It is composed of 5 events: pistol shooting, fencing, horseback riding, running, and swimming. The pentathlete's goal is to succeed in all 5 areas, not just one or two. Your life is a pentathlon of 5 purposes, which you must keep in balance. These purposes were practiced by the first Christians in Acts 2, explained by Paul in Ephesians 4, and modeled by Jesus in John 17, but they are summarized in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission of Jesus. These 2 statements sum up what this book is all about: God's 5 purposes for your life. 1. Love God with all your heart. You are planned for God's pleasure, so your purpose is to love God through worship. 2. Love your neighbor as yourself. You are shaped for serving, so your purpose is to show love for others through ministry. 3. Go and make disciples. You are made for a mission, so your purpose is to share God's message through evangelism. 4. Baptize them. You are formed for God's family, so your purpose is to identify with His church through fellowship. 5. Teach them to do all things. You are created to become like Christ, so your purpose is to grow to maturity through discipleship. A great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will make you a great Christian. Keeping these 5 purposes in balance is not easy. We all tend to overemphasize the purposes we feel most passionate about and neglect the others. Churches do the same thing. But you can keep your life balanced and on track by joining a small group for accountability, by regularly evaluating your spiritual health, by recording your progress in a personal journal, and by passing on what you learn to others. These are 4 important activities for purpose-driven living. If you're serious about staying on track, you will need to develop these habits. 1. Talk it through with a spiritual partner or small group. The best way to internalize the principles in this book is to discuss them with others in a small group setting. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so people can improve each other. We learn best in community. Our minds are sharpened and our convictions are deepened through conversation. I strongly urge you to gather a small group of friends and form a purpose-driven life reading group to review these chapters on a weekly basis. Discuss the implications and the applications of each chapter. Ask, so what, and what now? What does this mean for me, my family, and our church? What am I going to do about it? Paul said, put into practice what you learned. A small reading group provides many benefits that a book by itself cannot. You can give and receive feedback about what you're learning. You can discuss real-life examples. You can pray for, encourage, and support each other as you begin to live out these purposes. Remember, we are meant to grow together, not separately. The Bible says, encourage each other and give each other strength. After you have gone through this book together as a group, you might consider studying other purpose-driven life studies that are available for classes and groups. I have footnoted over 1,000 scriptures used in this book for you to study in their context. To keep these chapters to a size for daily reading, I was unable to explain the fascinating context of most of the verses used. But the Bible is intended to be studied by paragraphs, chapters, and even entire books. My book, Personal Bible Study Methods, can show you how to do inductive studies. 2. Give yourself a regular spiritual checkup. The best way to balance the 5 purposes in your life is to evaluate yourself periodically. God places a high value on the habit of self-evaluation. At least 5 times in Scripture, we are told to test and examine our own spiritual health. The Bible says, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. To maintain your physical health, you need regular checkups with a doctor who can assess your vital signs, blood pressure, temperature, weight, and so on. For your spiritual health, you need to regularly check the five vital signs of worship, fellowship, growth in character, ministry, and mission. Jeremiah advised, let's take a good look at the way we are living and reorder our lives under God. At Saddleback Church, we have developed a simple personal evaluation tool that has helped thousands of people stay on purpose for God. If you would like a copy of this purpose-driven life spiritual health assessment, you can email me. You will be amazed at how much this little tool will help you balance your life for health and growth. Paul urged, let your enthusiastic idea at the start be equaled by your realistic action now. 3. Write down your progress in a journal. The best way to reinforce your progress in fulfilling God's purposes for your life is to keep a spiritual journal. This is not a diary of events, but a record of the life lessons you don't want to forget. The Bible says, it is crucial that you keep a firm grip on what we've had so that we don't drift off. We remember what we record. Writing helps clarify what God is doing in your life. Dawson Trotman used to say, thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through your fingertips. The Bible has several examples of God telling people to keep a spiritual journal. It says, at the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. Aren't you glad Moses obeyed God's command to record Israel's spiritual journey? If he had been lazy, we would be robbed of the powerful life lessons of the Exodus. While it's unlikely that your spiritual journal will be as widely read as Moses was, yours is still important. The New International Version says, Moses recorded the stages in their journey. Your life is a journey, and a journey deserves a journal. I hope you will write about the stages of your spiritual journey in a living, a purpose-driven life. Don't just write down the pleasant things. As David did, record your doubts, fears, and struggles with God. Our greatest lessons come out of pain, and the Bible says, God keeps a record of our tears. Whenever problems occur, remember that God uses them to fulfill all five purposes in your life. Problems force you to focus on God, draw you closer to others in fellowship, build Christ-like character, provide you with a ministry, and give you a testimony. Every problem is purpose-driven. In the middle of a painful experience, the psalmist wrote, write down for the coming generation what the Lord has done, so that people not yet born will praise him. You owe it to future generations to preserve the testimony of how God helped you to fulfill his purposes on earth. It is a witness that will continue to speak long after you're in heaven. 4. Pass on what you know to others. If you want to keep growing, the best way to learn more is to pass on what you've already learned. Proverbs tells us, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Those who pass along insights get more from God. Now that you understand the purpose of life, it is your responsibility to carry the message to others. God is calling you to be his messenger. Paul said, now I want you to tell these same things to followers who can be trusted to tell others. In this book, I have passed on to you what others taught me about the purpose of life. Now it's your duty to pass that on to others. You probably know hundreds of people who do not know the purpose of life. Share these truths with your children, your friends, your neighbors, and those you work with. If you give this book to a friend, add your personal note on the dedication page. The more you know, the more God expects you to use that knowledge to help others. James said, anyone who knows the right thing to do but does not do it is sinning. Knowledge increases responsibility. But passing along the purpose of life is more than an obligation. It's one of life's greatest privileges. Imagine how different the world would be if everyone knew their purpose. Paul said, "If you teach these things to other followers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. It is all for God's glory. The reason we pass on what we learn is for the glory of God and the growth of His kingdom." The night before He was crucified, Jesus reported to His Father, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." When Jesus prayed these words, He had not yet died for our sins, so what work had He completed? In this instant, He was referring to something other than the atonement. The answer lies in what He said in the next 20 verses of His prayer. Jesus told His Father what He had been doing for the last 3 years, preparing His disciples to live for God's purposes. He helped them to know and love God, worship, taught them to love each other, fellowship, gave them the word so they could grow to maturity, discipleship, showed them how to serve, ministry, and sent them out to tell others, mission. Jesus modeled a purpose-driven life, and He taught others how to live it too. That was the work that brought glory to God. Today, God calls each one of us to the same work. Not only does He want us to live out His purposes, He also wants us to help others do the same. God wants us to introduce people to Christ, bring them into His fellowship, help them grow to maturity and discover their place of service, and then send them out to reach others too. This is what purpose-driven living is all about. Regardless of your age, the rest of your life can be the best of your life, and you can start living on purpose today. Day 39, thinking about my purpose. Point to ponder: blessed are the balanced. Verse to remember: Ephesians 5:15. Live life with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. Question to consider: which of the four activities will I begin in order to stay on track and balance God's five purposes for my life? Chapter 40, Living with Purpose. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Acts 13:36. For David served the purpose of God in his own generation. Living on purpose is the only way to really live. Everything else is just existing. Most people struggle with three basic issues in life. The first is identity. Who am I? The second is importance. Do I matter? The third is impact. What is my place in life? The answers to all three questions are found in God's five purposes for you. In the upper room, as Jesus was concluding His last day of ministry with His disciples, He washed their feet as an example and said, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Once you know what God wants you to do, the blessing comes in actually doing it. As we come to the end of our 40-day journey together, now that you know God's purpose for your life, you will be blessed if you do them. This probably means that you will have to stop doing some other things. There are many good things you can do with your life, but God's purposes are the five essentials you must do. Unfortunately, it's easy to get distracted and forget what is most important. It is easy to drift away from what matters most and slowly get off course. To prevent this, you should develop a purpose statement for your life and then review it regularly. What is a life purpose statement? 1. It's a statement that summarizes God's purposes for your life. In your own words, you affirm your commitment to God's five purposes for your life. A purpose statement is not a list of goals. Goals are temporary, purposes are eternal. The Bible says, "His plans endure forever, His purposes last eternally." 2. It is a statement that points the direction of your life. Writing down your purposes on paper will force you to think specifically about the path of your life. The Bible says, "Know where you are headed and you will stay on solid ground." A life purpose statement not only spells out what you intend to do with your time, life, and money, but also implies what you aren't going to do. Proverbs says, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. 3. It's a statement that defines success for you. It states what you believe is important, not what the world says is important. It clarifies your values. Paul said, I want you to understand what really matters. 4. It's a statement that clarifies your roles. You will have different roles at different stages in life, but your purposes will never change. They are greater than any role you will have. 5. It's a statement that expresses your shape. It reflects the unique ways God meant you to serve Him. Take your time writing out your life purpose statement. Don't try to complete it in a single setting, and don't aim for perfection in your first draft. Just write down your thoughts as fast as they come to you. It is always easier to edit than to create. Here are 5 questions you should consider as you prepare your statement. 1. What will be the center of my life? This is the question of worship. Who are you going to live for? What are you going to build your life around? You can center your life around your career, your family, a sport or hobby, money, having fun, or many other activities. These are all good things, but they don't belong at the center of your life. None is strong enough to hold you together when life starts breaking apart. You need an unshakable center. King Asa told the people of Judah to center their lives in God. Actually, whatever is at the center of your life is your God. When you committed your life to Christ, He moved into the center, but you must keep Him there through worship. Paul says, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. How do you know when God is at the center of your life? When God's at the center, you worship. When He's not, you worry. Worry is the warning light that God has been shoved to the sideline. The moment you put Him back at the center, you will have peace again. The Bible says, a sense of God's wholeness will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. 2. What will be the character of my life? This is the question of discipleship. What kind of person will you be? God is far more interested in what you are than what you do. Remember, He will take your character into eternity, but not your career. Make a list of the character qualities you want to work on and develop in your life. You might begin with the fruit of the Spirit or the beatitudes. Peter said, don't lose a minute in building on what you have been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Don't get discouraged and give up when you stumble. It takes a lifetime to build Christ-like character. Paul told Timothy, keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted, just keep at it. 3. What will be the contribution of my life? This is a question of service. What will be your ministry in the body of Christ? Knowing your combination of spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences, what will be your best role in the family of God? How can you make a difference? Is there a specific group in the body that I am chef to serve? Paul pointed out 2 wonderful benefits when you fulfill your ministry. This service you perform not only meets the needs of God's people, but also produces an outpouring of gratitude to God. While you are shaped to serve others, even Jesus didn't meet the needs of everyone while on earth. You have to choose whom you can best help based on your shape. You need to ask, who do I have a desire to help most? Jesus said, I commissioned you to go out and to bear fruit that will last. Each of us bears different fruit. 4. What will be the communication of my life? This is the question of your mission to unbelievers. Your mission statement is a part of your life purpose statement. It should include your commitment to share your testimony and the good news with others. You should also list the 5 lessons and godly passions you feel God has given you to share with the world. As you grow in Christ, God may give you a special target group of people to focus on reaching. Be sure to add this to your statement. If you're a parent, part of your mission is to raise your children to know Christ, to help them understand His purposes for their lives, and to send them out on their mission in the world. You might include Joshua's statement in yours. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Of course, our lives must support and validate the message we communicate. Before most unbelievers accept the Bible as credible, they want to know that we are credible. That is why the Bible says, be sure that you live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ. 5. What will be the community of my life? This is the question of fellowship. How will you demonstrate your commitment to other believers and connection to the family of God? Where will you practice the one another commands with other Christians? To which church family will you be joined as a functioning member? The more you mature, the more you will love the body of Christ and want to sacrifice for it. The Bible says, Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. You should include an expression of your love for God's church in your statement. As you consider your answers to these questions, include any scriptures that speak to you about each of these purposes. There are many in this book. It may take you weeks or months to craft your life purpose statement just the way you want it. Pray, think about it, talk with close friends, and reflect on scripture. You may go through several rewrites before you get to your final form. Even then, you will probably make minor changes as time goes by and God gives you more insight into your own shape. If you would like to see some examples from other people, just email me. In addition to writing a detailed life purpose statement, it is also helpful to have a shorter statement or slogan that summarizes the 5 purposes of your life in a way that's memorable and inspires you. Then you can remind yourself daily. Solomon advised, it will be good to keep these things in mind so that you are ready to repeat them. Here are a few examples. My life purpose is to worship Christ with my heart, serve Him with my shape, fellowship with His family, grow like Him in character, and fulfill His mission in the world so He receives glory. 2. My life purpose is to be a member of Christ's family, a model of His character, a minister of His grace, a messenger of His word, and a magnifier of His glory. 3. My life purpose is to live Christ, grow in Christ, share Christ, and serve Christ through His church, and to lead my family and others to do the same. 4. My life purpose is to make a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. 5. My goal is Christ-likeness. My family is the church. My ministry is - my mission is - my motive is the glory of God. You may wonder, what about God's will for my job or marriage or where I'm supposed to live or go to school? Honestly, these are secondary issues in your life, and there may be multiple possibilities that would all be in God's will for you. What matters most is that you fulfill God's eternal purposes regardless of where you live or work or whom you marry. Those decisions should support your purposes. The Bible says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Focus on God's purposes for your life, not your plans, since that's what will last forever. I once had the suggestion that you develop your life purpose statement based on what you would like other people to say about you at your funeral. Imagine your perfect eulogy, then build your statement on that. Frankly, that's a bad plan. At the end of your life, it isn't going to matter at all what other people say about you. The only thing that will matter is what God says about you. The Bible says, our purpose is to please God, not people. One day you will reveal your answers to these life questions. Did you put Jesus at the center of your life? Did you develop his character? Did you devote your life to serving others? Did you communicate his message and fulfill his mission? Did you love and participate in his family? These are the only issues that will count. As Paul said, our goal is to measure up to God's plan for us. God wants to use you. About 30 years ago, I noticed a little phrase in Acts 13:36 that forever altered the direction of my life. It was only 7 words, but like the stamp of a searing hot brand iron, my life was permanently marked by these words. David served God's purpose in his generation. Now I understood why God called David a man after my own heart. David dedicated his life to fulfilling God's purposes on earth. There is no greater epitaph than that statement. Imagine it is chiseled on your tombstone that you served God's purposes in your generation. My prayer is that people will be able to say that about me when I die. It is also my prayer that people will say it about you too. That is why I wrote this book for you. This phrase is the ultimate definition of a life well lived. You do the eternal and timeless God's purpose in a contemporary and timely way in your generation. That is what the purpose-driven life is all about. Neither past nor future generations can serve God's purpose in this generation. Only we can. Like Esther, God created you for such a time as this. God is still looking for people to use. The Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." Will you be a person God can use for his purposes? Will you serve God's purpose in your generation? Paul lived a purpose-driven life. He said, "I ran straight to the goal with purpose in every step." His only reason for living was to fulfill the purposes God had for him. He said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul was not afraid of either living or dying. Either way, he would fulfill God's purposes. He couldn't lose. One day history will come to a close, but eternity will go on forever. William Carey said, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." When fulfilling your purposes seems tough, don't give in to discouragement. Remember your reward, which will last forever. The Bible says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Imagine what it is going to be like one day with all of us standing before the throne of God, presenting our lives in deep gratitude and praise to Christ. Together we will say, "Worthy, O Master, yes, our God, take the glory, the honor, the power. You created it all. It was created because you wanted it." We will praise him for his plan and live for his purposes forever. Day 40. Thinking about my purpose. Point to ponder. Living with purpose is the only way to really live. Verse to remember. For David served the purpose of God in his own generation. Acts 13:36. Question to consider. When will I take the time to write down my answers to life's 5 great questions? When will I put my purpose on paper?